Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. Alice Kavanagh Gober, and we are with Community Education Arts. Welcome back to At the Roundtable. Today we have a special guest with us, Thomas Nealon Johnson. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you.
And so, Thomas, first, would you just be willing to introduce yourself to our audience? All about who you are as an artist this time.
Oh, yeah, sure. So my name is Thomas Nealon. I grew up in Mississippi, right smack dab in the middle of the Delta. I was raised by my grandparents. I define myself as a scholar and a gentleman. and I absolutely love writing poetry. It's something I've done for almost a decade now. And so it's an extension of me. It's a part of my everyday process. And it has brought me through a lot of life experiences, both positive and negative. So, yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit more about the style of your poetry? Do you do rhymed, free verse? How would you describe it?
Yeah, so I'm not really a rhyme guy. I like rhyme, but I'm more of a free verse type of poet. Although I love writing in free verse, I also like experimenting with forms. And so some of my favorite forms are sestinas. We've got the simple haikus, which kind of serve as a punctuation to a longer poem. Pantoums, which has a cyclic nature when you're writing it. But mostly I love writing in free verse, just, you know, putting out what comes to mind, you know, and then making the tweaks there. But to improve on craft, I love working with forms, too. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember trying to write a pantoum a couple years ago, and it is harder than you think to make it kind of chase its own tail.
Yeah.
Right.
Without forcing lines, yeah, it's pretty difficult, yeah.
Right, absolutely. And what sorts of themes do really appeal to you as a poet?
I love nature, so that's one. Lately, I've been writing about injustices. So the injustices that, you know, we see on the news, in local societies, you know, surrounding communities. And so I created a chapbook out of those, you know, injustices that I've written about. So lately, that's been the theme. But aside from that, nature, music, those are kind of my things.
Gotcha. What's your chapbook entitled?
It's called Injustice League, Dark Matters. So for all the DC Comics fans,
yeah,
right.
It's a pretty similar name,
yeah.
But it's called the Injustice League because there are several groups of people who have been injusticed. And so this chapbook that I've written is the first chapbook in a series. And the first one happens to start off with, like, the gun violence and police brutality. So.
Yeah.
That sounds really fascinating. I look forward to the series continuing to seeing what else you come up with for that series. You know, you mentioned, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you mentioned that you've been writing poetry for 10 years. Was that about when you kind of knew that was your destiny? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I started undergrad at DePaul University back in 2010, and I thought that I was going in to major in biology and eventually become a pediatrician.
Oh, wow. That's a little different than a poet. Yeah, okay.
It's on the opposite side.
Yeah.
I started learning, you know, in my first semester, one, that it just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And so I took a college writing course my first semester, which introduced me to writing. And so then I got into a creative writing course the following semester. And so that's what sparked everything. There's an author, creative writer, playwright. Her name is Chris White. I took her for my intro to creative writing class. And so from then on, I declared my major freshman year as a creative writing major. So
that's quite a switch, you know.
It is.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know that because you started out with biology and everything, it's not surprising to me that things in nature continue to inspire you, because you were probably looking at the natural side of life, the nature sciences and everything with biology,
right.
And you still have that inspiration. And it's always interesting to me, and I think to our audiences, what inspires people. And so getting a little bit of background from you about your story helps us understand where you're coming from as a poet.
Absolutely. And if I can add this, I think there was a point where I decided there was another way that I wanted to, you know, improve quality of life for people,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of having like that physical control,
mm-hmm.
you know. I feel that writing is just as powerful a healing agent as, let's say, your local physician or your local mental health counselor, you know.
Yeah.
So poetry has some of those same properties.
Yeah, I think we would definitely agree with you on that, because we believe that too. And we also believe that poetry can change the world. So I think we're all in agreement that what we're doing matters, you know, it matters a lot, you know. We have a good thing we're doing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I would love to hear, kind of tied right into that topic, Thomas, about, are there any events or experiences in your childhood or any time in your life that you feel really have fed into your development as a poet?
So one of my biggest things, so I was born in California, and of course most kids start out with two parents. And growing up, I didn't have a father. And so there are a couple of moments where I found myself writing poetry about, you know, not having a father, growing up without him. You know, and being raised by my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So those events, I feel, kind of helped shape me as a writer. And especially while I was in undergrad, some of those moments resurfaced. And there was actually a time where I met my father on social media, but then we lost contact again.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time, you know, it was a really dark time after that. And so I began to write the darkest forms that I, you know, the darkest poems that I could write, you know. And after a while, I didn't want to be in that dark place anymore. And so I decided to, like, just shift my focus, you know,
mm-hmm.
and focus on the things that I could have control over, the things that, you know, would allow me to write more bright poetry. But yeah, I think that might have been one of the biggest events in my life that contribute to my strength as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second one is a more recent divorce. About 2.5 years ago, I went through a pretty nasty divorce. And so that brought my second publication, Uncaged, to life. I released that in October of 2019, and a lot of those poems reflect the emotions that I had during my divorce, or leading up to the finalization of my divorce. So, you know, and now fast forward to 2020, I am engaged to the love of my life, and I have, you know, again, write poetry to write and new experiences with her, and so so I've had the opportunity to kind of, I don't know, shape myself in many different ways, but it's all developed me into the strong writer that I am today.
Well, congratulations on getting engaged to the love of your life, first of all. And then I wanted to say that overcoming those challenges and those obstacles that you talked about and kind of like writing your way through them with your poetry, I feel like that's so important for creative people and even people who've never picked up a pencil or a pen or a keyboard or anything to write a poem. That poets are willing to share those journeys and those the parts of their lives that are not positive or not pleasant and work their way through them. That's exactly when you were talking about impacting people in a positive way. That's exactly how we do that. And I feel very grateful to you that you put so much of yourself into your writing to share with the world in your chapbooks, because we don't hear those stories all the time. We might not hear the story of a young man growing up without a father and then connecting and disconnecting from that father. And so I feel like you're really contributing so much to other people's lives, you know, that you may not ever meet them, but you're going to impact them and affect them in a positive way and help them go, you know, come through some difficult times in their lives as well. So thank you for doing that. Yeah, thank you. I always feel like I want to thank artists of any kind for putting their own personal stuff out there, because I know for myself how difficult that is to do sometimes. And Sarah E. and I recently recorded some podcast episodes for our NICE project this year where I ended up talking a lot about some really awful, hard stuff from my childhood that I hadn't really talked about publicly in a long time, if ever. But I was glad I did that, because it made me feel like I, you know, first of all, got rid of some of that stuff, and also sharing it, you know, and feeling like it might help other people in similar situations or something, that made me feel like I'm doing something good. So I appreciate that you're one of those kind of artists who's willing to do that. Next up, the second part of our interview with Thomas Neeland. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.